All right, we are in Genesis chapter 4 this morning, so I encourage you to keep your Bibles open to that. You know, there are times in our life or situations in life where something that should have turned out right, something that should have done well, it doesn't. Something happens, usually human intervention. Of course, if you're thinking about an illustration of that, the one everybody thinks of, and we're still fascinated by it over 100 years, was the Titanic, right? Here was a ship that was unsinkable. And it not only sank, it sank on its very first voyage. That was really a lot of the, I think one of the problems, and if you look at everything, and I don't study all of that, but I know enough to know, it was just human pride. There's no way it's going, they didn't even have enough lifeboats for everybody that was on the ship. They couldn't believe that it was go down, but it did, and it shouldn't. But because of human error, it did. But whenever something goes wrong, that if you look at it and in our eyes think, man, this ought to go right, it's always because there is an underlying reason. Yep. There's always a root to the problem. Yep. We tend to see something that happens, like, oh, look what happened. But something caused it. Yep. Something caused the issue. We're going to see that in this story this morning. And I'll make it real practical for us. This, of course, is the first ever family. They are moving forward with God's plan to be fruitful and replenish the earth. They have two sons. Cain is first, and then there's Abel. As they go on, either because their dad taught them or gave that, they both kind of, you know, I don't know what the career paths were back then. There wasn't a lot going on. But one of them, Cain, he works the ground. He's a tiller of the ground. He's into agriculture, a farmer, as it were. And then you have Abel. Abel is more of a shepherd. He takes care of the livestock. In the course of time, we see in chapter 4 that they both bring an offering to the Lord. Cain brought what any farmer would bring. He brought of his produce that he had grown. And Abel brought what he would bring. He brought an animal sacrifice. Now, I don't want to go off on it because the Bible is not real clear, although we can read into it, right? They have these two offerings, but God acted very different. God's reaction was very different to both of the offerings. Abel's offering, he had respect and he accepted it. But when to Cain's offering, he did not accept it. In fact, he rejected it. Cain gets very upset about it. God ask him about it. Now, they live in a time when God's the beginning, where God's speaking face to face to them, and God comes up to them and calls them out on it. And Cain didn't take it very well, and he gets angry. So what does he do? He decides in his anger that he'll take it out on his brother. He was envious of the fact that his offering was received. And so he got very angry. The word used there is just extremely angry. God then speaks to Cain, who denies all of it, till God just lays it out for him. And then God gives him a punishment. As I read this story, I thought a while ago, it's like, it's amazing. The first family, they're closer to living in paradise than anybody ever was. Now, I understand that they sinned, Adam and Eve, and it started that. But still, I mean, they were in control of the little society they had there. And yet, in really what we would term a paradise, where they had everything to make everything right, there's trouble. In fact, not just a little bit of trouble. It was a murder. You think about what they had. They lived in a paradise. They lived very long lives. Some of them up to Methuselah, up almost 1,000 years. They think of this. They had direct access to God. I mean, he spoke to them. He was not just close as we can get close to God through the scripture. I mean, he was close in a very personal way. And yet there was a murder. And not just a murder, among brothers. Isn't that like us sometimes? We have self-inflicted problems that arise in situations where, because we're Christians, it really doesn't need to. You know, we are saved if we know Christ and we're children of God. We have the truth of this book to guide us in our lives. We have God's Spirit who indwells us to lead us and to direct us through the Scriptures in the right way. We have the privilege of prayer, asking God for specific help in specific situations. And we have the encouragement as believers to be together and encourage one another in the church. And yet, why is it that we have problems that we really should not? We have problems in our marriages. And not that, come on, I'm not dumb here. Two people living together, I get it. But we don't have to have problems like unsafe people do. By the way, free commercial break. Go to the couples retreat. You say, but pastor, I would go. My wife doesn't want to go. Red flag, red flag, red flag. Okay? And I know, I can save $395. Do you know how much lawyers cost? Okay. You say, I may save money. I know, but you get what you pay for. So that was free. See you at the couples retreat. Our families, we have trouble with our children and stuff, and I get it. We're human, but in the relationships and just the stuff of life. But as Christians, if we know God and all these things are true, shouldn't we have a better chance of success at it? Doesn't God say if we follow him, these things can all go well for us? Not perfect, don't get me wrong. So how do these things happen? Well, let's look at Cain and Abel. How did that happen? I'm going to tell you where it began. You ready? All his problems started where all of our problems always tend to start. It starts with our relationship with God. You say, oh, pastor, that's just way too simplistic. No, it's not simplistic. It's Bible. Because, see, the better our relationship with God is, the better everything in our life will be. And people don't like to hear that. They come in the office, you know, and I'm having problems. And they'll make a statement like, you know, I know I'm not spending time with God. And I know I'm not as faithful to God as I should. But, and I'm like, stop. That's the problem. You look at your marriage. You know what? If you had a better relationship with God, it's going to help you in every attitude and everything in your life. Don't you think that's going to help you in your marriage? Don't you think that's going to help you in your career? Don't you think that's going to help you with your children? Don't you think that's going to help you in just everything life throws at you? It will. That's where his problem started. That was the root of the problem. The murder was the fruit of the problem. The murder wasn't the problem. Don't take that out of context, right? The murder wasn't the real problem. That's the fruit. The problem was the root. The root was his relationship with God. And we're going to see that this morning. That's true in our situations. We are always headed down to the path of trouble and turmoil if our relationship with God is not right. Cain's choices in his relationship with God led to this trouble in paradise. I see six of them. You say, pastor, it's 11:20. What time are you going to get out of here? When I'm done. They're going to be quick. Okay? Number one, he chose the relationship. Cain did. Look at verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, verse 5, but unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. See, the cause of Cain's trouble started with God because it was he who chose how his relationship with God was. It's amazing. Spouses will sit there and argue about their spouse and this and that, and yet they're choosing the influences they're bringing into that marriage. They're choosing the things that they're doing in that marriage, and then we want to sit there and gripe about our marriage. And you could take that, you know, we gripe about our boss, we gripe about this, we gripe about that. And I know sometimes there's difficult people, don't get me wrong, but we're choosing some of the ingredients we're bringing into these things. Same thing is true in our relationship with God. We see the difference in the relationship with God pictured in the offerings. And let me just say this, and I know the standard, and it may be true, that God, if we read the law of the Old Testament, that God wanted animal sacrifices, that pictured the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would die for our sins. I get all that. But you also do know that in the Old Testament, if you were a farmer, you brought offerings of your agriculture. So I don't know if that's the problem. I don't think necessarily that is the whole problem. It's not that Abel brought an animal and he didn't. Now we know he wanted the animal later on. But here's the problem. Abel's was the first fruit of his flock. He said he brought of the first of his flock. Do you understand what it said about Cain? Cain brought, boom. It's not described, it's just whatever he wanted to bring. He just brought it. But he brought the first fruit of his flock. That was the priority. And by the way, God always asks for the first of our lives in everything. This isn't a message about giving, but when we give, it's called the tithe, right? Because we give to God first. When we're coming to church and things like that, we ought to look at our schedule. Whatever it is, if it's something God wants, we give it to him first. God wants first place. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God said, I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. You got to put me first. We tend to give God the leftovers. Abel, he had already said he gave of the fat of his flock. That was the prosperity. In other words, he gave to God first, and he gave God the best. It doesn't say that about Cain's offering. And God rejected it. He said that, and by the way, he knew this wasn't something. I'm sure God made it clear to him, or else God wouldn't have gotten mad about it. Yep. Upset about it. Cain's was just an offering, nothing special. And Abel's was made by faith to please God. And if you look at Cain's, it was probably made out of duty to pacify God. I got to bring an offering. Here it is. Just take it. By the way, that doesn't work. That's not how God works. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, as in the New Testament, they're explaining the faith of Abel's offering. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, he said, this is what God wants. I'm going to give it to God. This isn't just something I'm throwing. God gets the best. And if I'm going to have faith in God, I'm going to do it. Let me just say this. God is under no obligation to accept anything we bring to him just because we bring it to him. He's not. We have to bring God what he wants, right? We have to give God by faith what he asked for. And Cain didn't do that. Understand this. If we don't do it by faith, it's worthless. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Listen to this very carefully. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's heavy. Think about that. If I can't do something by faith, God says, I'm not going to reject it. It's wrong. We have to be very careful. That is the determining factor in what kind of relationship a Christian has with God. Do we choose to live by faith and please him? We talked about worship. You know what worship is? Worship is valuing God above anything and everything else. So do we decide to live by duty just to pass? Well, you know, God, came to church on Sunday. I gave you something. I'm moving on with my life. That doesn't work. By the way, try that in your marriage. I was home Monday, honey. You get Monday. The rest of the week's mine. Can I just tell you something? You need more than the couple's retreat to fix that. And I don't even know if it's fixable, okay? That doesn't work. Your kids. I love you kids with all my heart. See you on Wednesday. Doesn't work. This is not a small decision, for it will greatly determine everything else going forward in life. By the way, you know when my life changed? When I made a decision after I was saved, God, you get everything. Not playing games anymore. You get 100%. I'm all in. It's not much, but you're getting everything. My life changed from that point. Number two, he also chose, and I'll explain it, he chose his rejection. Look at verse 5. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. And that means extremely angry. And his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are thy wroth and why is thy countenance fallen? I used to, when I was a youth director years ago, I could always tell when the teens were starting to have trouble in their life, their attitude. And I bring them in, it's like, what's going on? I'm like, nothing. I'm like, your face says otherwise, right? When our count, this just, we're humans. Things aren't going well and our face just falls. God's like, hey, why are you mad? What's wrong with your face? Now, he didn't say it like that, but that's what he's saying. So your face is telling me everything I need to know. Now, he is God. He already knew. But he wanted to know that everybody else knew. See, understand that when God, when the offering was rejected, he wasn't rejecting Cain. He was rejecting Cain's offering. Yep. That's why he gives him the opportunity in a second. We'll get to that. It wasn't the right kind of offering, and it wasn't the right kind of faith. It was an offering of self-will, and that's always going to be rejected. God, I'm just going to throw that out there, take it. God's like, pass. I don't have any respect for that. That's where a lack of a right relationship with God starts to manifest itself. So what happens? We have a bad spirit. And don't even tell me this. If you have a bad spirit, don't, and I'm not thinking, but I'm just saying, if you have a bad spirit, don't even sit here and tell me you have a right relationship with God. I've been there. Okay? It's like, if I'm upset with something, it's like, prayer wasn't good that morning. That's just how it works. Because if I have a right relationship with God, I'll be able to get through these things. I'll be able to see it from God's perspective. He had a bad attitude. Okay, what was that all about? It's bad. God didn't just choose to reject Cain's offering. This is it. Cain chose an offering that would be rejected. I've told you before, and it irritates me. There's a alleged church over by my house. Like, God didn't reject anybody, and neither did we. You know why? Because we can't just bring to God what he wants and expects him to have to take it. Amen. And God's like, that's not what I want. And by the way, God has a right to do that, yep, because he's told us exactly what he wants. Now, if God didn't tell us what he wanted from us, that'd be one thing. Okay? So if we're having a problem with our relationship with God, it's because we're bringing something to him he doesn't want. We have to get past that attitude, right? That God just has to accept whatever I offer to him, even if it's not my best. Reminds me of a story. There's you guys like football. There's one of the Bucks, his dad, Joe Buck. Not Joe Buck, his dad. I forget his dad's last name. But he announced baseball for the Cardinals for like 40 years. And I mean, he was really old at the end. And you know how it is? You get a little older at the end. You make mistakes verbally and you're getting things wrong. And someone asked him one time, said, hey, you're starting to make mistakes. I mean, are you going to retire soon? And here's what he said. He goes, nope. He goes, the Cardinals got some of the best years of my life. Now they're going to get some of the worst. Okay. But you know what we do? We come to God and say, you're just going to get the worst. You young folks, like, I'm going to do my own thing for a while, and I'm going to do all this. And when I get a little older, I'll serve God. When I get married, I'll serve God. When I have children, I'll get things straight. You know what usually happens? You don't. Give God the best. He doesn't want to reject, but if we don't bring what he wants, it's rejected. Number three, he chose his reaction. Look at verse 7. God says, hey, you know, what's going on with your face? What's going on with all this? He goes, if thou doest well, in verse 7, shalt thou not be accepted? God gave him another chance. He goes, look, I'm not just here to chew you out. And if thou doest not well, but he gives a warning, right? Sin lieth at the door. He says, now look, you just change your attitude, change what's going on, and I'll accept it. But if not, he didn't say, if you keep doing that, it's going to keep being rejected. What did he say? Sin's waiting. Sin's right there. That's what happens. When God gives us an opportunity to get things right, that's called grace, right? But what do we call it because he gave him a warning? What do we call it when we give him a warning? That's grace too. God wants us to get on the right path, but he didn't want it. Just because God reminds us of the negative consequences of our decisions or of sin doesn't mean that he's not gracious. See, that's our society. And I can make people mad. I can get up here and say, look, here's what God says is wrong. Boom, boom, boom. What? That's not gracious. If I tell you what God says is wrong, that's not gracious. God tells us that because he is gracious. Because he knows if we get involved in things that are wrong, we're going to hurt ourselves. He knew it was coming. He knew what would happen if he kept going down that path and he did not listen. All God can do is offer. How we react to his offer is on us. But you know what we do? We blame everybody else. Yeah. Well, this is, you know, some people even blame God for their choice. Well, I just, I know. Hey, Adam, why did you sin? Well, you know, it's the woman you gave me. You gave me. I didn't even have a choice. I took a nap. I woke up. My side hurt. There she was. He's blaming God. It's like, God, it's like, what? And then he's like, you know, it's her fault too. I like Eve. She spiritualized it. The serpent tricked me. Totally got left field. No, we're good at that. We make excuses. But the fact of the matter is, just because someone may be pushing us in the wrong direction doesn't mean we need to go to that direction. We choose to. We choose our reaction. God can give forgiveness and God gives opportunity. How we respond to that is up to us, and he did not respond well. Fourthly, see, we're doing really good here. He chose his rebellion. Verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, right after God said, get it together, get it right. Not going to work well. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his Abel's brother and slew him. We can tell by this verse that Cain chose the way of rebellion instead of confession, forgiveness, and a renewed opportunity. When God came to him, he should have said, you're right. That was the wrong thing. I'm going to get on board. I'm going to bring the right opportunity, right offering. And he didn't. And guess what happened? He ended up sinning and he killed his brother. All violence is wrong, right? But it's interesting that when violence is among someone close to you, it's even worse. Isn't that the case? Our issue with God causes us to act out and have issues in other areas. It's just a point of life. His issue was not with Abel. Abel represented his issue with God because Abel was accepted and he was rejected. And so who's he going to take it out on? I'm guessing it's a really bad idea to fight God. That's not going to end well. But he took it out on his brother. Who are you taking it out on? The relationships of your life? You're taking it out like living your own life. I'll show you. By the way, when you do that, who pays the consequences? You do. How's your purpose in life? Well, I'm doing my own thing. I'm so tired of this stuff. How's that going to work for you? You cannot separate who you are and what you do from your relationship with God. It's either going to affect you positively or it's going to affect you negatively. Number 5, he chose his response. Look at verse 9. God comes to him again. He killed his brother. So God circles back around. Verse 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, look at how God gave him, even after all this, he gave him an opportunity to confess. It's a good thing I'm not God. I would have came and said, oh, you know where Abel is? I do. Tell him I said hi. Bzz. Good thing I'm not God. Where's Abel, thy brother? And in, look at this, smart aleck. I don't know. You ever guess one of your kids? Hey, I don't know. Like, okay, they do. Am I my brother's keeper? He's obviously acting without any fear of God. By the way, when your relationship with God starts to deteriorate, you no longer fear him. That's really bad ground. Because you're going to live totally unaccountable from the word of God. And that's what he was doing. He lied to him. He denied knowledge. That's a lie. He denied responsibility. You know what the word keeper means? Guard or protector. He goes, he's not my responsibility. Apparently, he believed that. It's amazing to know in the first chapters of the Bible and all throughout the Bible, people responded this way when confronted with wrong. By the way, we all do wrong sometimes. How do we respond? You know, sometimes someone might point it out to us. Now, it's not people's responsibility to point it out to us. Sometimes we read the scripture and we're confronted with what's going on in our life. Sometimes the Spirit of God, as we do things, you'll feel that conviction like, hey, that's not the way to go. And then lastly, he chose his result. Verse 10, God's had enough of it. And he said, what has it done? He didn't let him answer. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And thou art now cursed from the earth, which hath opened her blood to receive thy brother's blood from thine hand. Now what was he? He was a tiller of the ground, a farmer. Verse 12, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth bring yield unto thee her strength. He goes, your farm's not going to do very well. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. You're just going to travel around, no place. Your life's going to be a wreck. And look what he said, verse 13. My punishment is greater than I can bear. Not his sin. He didn't care about that. Not what he did to his brother. He didn't care about that. He was only concerned with his consequences. All he had concern about. I don't know how many people over the years will come in and like, this is going on in my life, and they have a problem. Like, what they want you to do is fix that problem without getting to the root of the problem, and I won't do it. It's a waste of my time. Yep. You know why? If you have bad fruit because you have a bad tree, cut the bad fruit off, the tree's going to keep producing bad fruit. Yep. You got to fix the tree. You got to get to the root. You fix the root, the tree is healthy, the fruit is better. He was just concerned with the punishment. No thought to his brother, no thought to what he did to his family. God gave the punishment, but only in response to his actions and rejection. Understand this sentence, it's very important. You can choose whatever course of action you want to take. You can choose your reaction to anything that occurs in your life. But you cannot control the results of those actions or reactions. Sorry, that is not your control. All you can control is what you do, but the consequences are out of your control. Well, these are negative consequences. He would never want that punishment. He signed on to that punishment when he decided to disobey God in the first place, to reject his offer to get things right, and to kill his brother. Yep. Guess what? Out of your hand now. My life is a turmoil and it's a wreck. What are you doing to cause that? Yes, you are. Yes, I am. When I have problems in my life, it's because I've done things to bring those problems upon myself. Yep. I can't choose the result. You do have the right to control your life, even if it's in direct opposition to God, but you cannot control what happens as a result of that. So what's the point? Our troubles in life, they're just the fruit. What's the root? Now, I know I'm oversimplifying it to a certain extent. But if you get your relationship with God right, you'll get into the scriptures and you'll see the other things that you're violating in scripture that might be causing these other issues. But if you don't have that relationship with God right, years ago, we used to have a guy come to our class. We started a couple's class years ago at the old building. This guy and his wife were coming. I could have gave him a faithfulness award. He was coming every single week. Went several times to talk to him about becoming a Christian. And he would not, he didn't want to believe in Christ at all. And I'm like, why are you coming? He goes, because I like the things that are being taught and I think it'll help my family. But he would not get saved. You know what happened? They're divorced today. Didn't help. Why? He didn't want to get the relationship with God right. He just wanted to hear stuff that would help what was going on in his life. He had to get to the root, and he could have corrected the fruit. What is the primary cause of the issues of our life? Our relationship with God. So let me ask you this. How's your relationship with God today? Now, none of us can stand up and say, nailed it, it's perfect. But are we going the right direction? Are we being faithful in that relationship? Are we listening when God speaks to us? If we can, if we do that, we're going to avoid a lot of the nonsense and drama in life. You can. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it, and I hope you got what I'm trying to say. Hope you understand when you come to church, that's what we're all about. We're about the scripture. We're about that relationship with God, because everything else that's going on in life can be helped and fixed, protected, if we have the right relationship with God. And before the piano plays, I do have to ask this question. How do I start? If I don't know much about a relationship with God, how do I start? Well, it all starts with this: becoming a Christian. Here's a question. If you were to die today, would you be 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have any doubt? If you have any doubt, then you need to get that settled. You need to meet Jesus Christ as your Savior and start that relationship with nobody looking around. If that's you, by the way, many years ago as I sat in the service, that was me, and I raised my hand. If you're here this morning, you say, you know, Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure, as you mentioned, that if I die to go to heaven, but that's something I'd like to know for sure, with nobody looking around. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Just lift your hand and put it down. I'll see your hand. Anybody at all, and I'll pray for you. Yes, right here. Back there, yes. Over here. Let's stand together.